Hey, welcome back, you guys. It's me, Coach Adam, here on Living Your Best Life. Thanks for tuning in. It's taken me a little bit to get back to another episode. I've been kind of up and down with this, but I promise you I'm getting back to it. So the last episode was a couple weeks ago. This one's coming out right before the end of June. So twice a month is what I'm shooting for. Maybe a bonus one every now and then. I want to see about getting guests on the show. So maybe some interviews, you know, whatever, we'll figure it out. If you guys have any ideas, please let me know. I'm more than happy to implement them. I guess that's how you say it, right? let me make sure my mic's working. Sure. Yes, it's working. All right. Anyways. So welcome back, Living Your Best Life, podcast designed to educate you, motivate you, inspire you, empower you to feel confident enough to walk around your daily life, knowing you're making the right choices with your food, making the right choices with how you deal with things, making the right choices with how you're moving your body and just overall well-being. Over the years as a coach, I've kind of, I guess you'd say evolved, which is a good thing, right? I've changed from just being a personal trainer. And now I like to refer to myself as a health and wellness coach. So, you'll hear me say that going forward. If you have any questions about that, I will be posting some things on like what I would say that I am an expert at, what I cover. You know, I deal with a lot more problems than just losing weight and feeling stronger or getting faster in your sport. You know, there's a lot more that comes with fitness and wellness and health, mental health and everything like that. So I want to be more of a coach that helps guide people along that path versus just helping people get in shape. Okay, so yeah, I'm a health and wellness coach now, not just a personal trainer. So hopefully the content that begins to come out now, the advice I begin to put out kind of more aligns with that. And you guys have a bit better understanding of why I do what I do and why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it. So yeah, away we go. So today's episode, guys, I want to talk about the importance of strength training. I know I've mentioned it in the past, strength training just in general, what it is and how to do it. So I'll kind of go over that towards the end. But if you want to go back to an episode or something, just go back to it. Otherwise, this will be a little bit more in depth on the importance of strength training, why you should do it, and what it is to begin with. So to begin with, strength training is anything that's resistance-based training. So body weight training, bands, suspension trainer, the TRX, those straps that we usually see. And then, of course, your traditional barbells and free weights and plates and things like that. But any physical movement in which you're pushing external load or weight, your resistance training, your strength training. And ideally what that does is it helps build muscle mass. Man, I wonder what that would be like. That's a whole another subject. Anyways, helps build muscle mass, strength, and endurance. And it also helps burn body fat. So it will change your body composition. So you'll end up building strength while simultaneously losing body fat, which is what 98.9% of people really want when they come talk to me. There are five different types of strength training. Depending on what you're looking for, depending on what your goals are, there's muscular hypertrophy, which is muscle building. This type of training uses moderate to heavy weights to stimulate muscle growth. This is typically what you kind of see in the gym. Is your muscular, you'll see people start with maybe a low weight and kind of move up to a higher weight during that session. That's typically what people are familiar with. There's also muscular endurance. This is the muscle's ability to sustain exercise over a long period of time. So this is good for athletes. This is good for long distance runner, anyone who wants to increase their endurance in a sport that they're playing, a hobby that they have, whatever it may be. If you like to bike, if you like to hike or swim or things like that, endurance in your muscles is important in there. So that usually involves high reps with light weight or just body weight. So mostly you'll see that in like HIIT training, classes, like body, like group classes, things like that, where you have like 20, 30 people and you have minimal equipment. So you want to heighten, higher reps, lower volume on weight. And that's really good for anyone who is unfamiliar with free weights or anything like that. They can use just their body weight. Third one is circuit training. That's full body conditioning. And that's basically cycling through various exercises with no rest in between. So Tabata is the most like circuit training, where you're working on one movement for 45 seconds. You take a break for 15 seconds. And that 15 seconds, you're literally transitioning over to your next exercise, your next station. That's how it's usually set up, your next circuit. You do another 45 seconds of work and a 15 second rest. And you do that maybe like three or four times. And you do, depending on how crazy the coach is or what the goal is, you do 5+ rounds. And then you never come back. The fourth one, maximum muscular strength. So the maximum muscular strength, that's what we're looking at, maximum power that someone can pull or move or push. So this is usually lower reps, so about 2 to 6, 3 to 7, just depends on who you are. That one extra usually helps if you're doing the 3 to 7. And this basically is done with heavy weights to just improve overall strength. This is what you'll see power lifters doing, bodybuilders, and those are, these type of workouts and exercises are best for people that already are familiar with almost perfect form. All right. Near perfect form. I won't say perfect form because there's going to be slight variations, right? But near perfect form. So please, if you're not familiar with weight training, if you're not familiar with how your body moves and how each exercise is supposed to be performed, please don't do it. Okay. If you're watching me on video, my hands are up in prayer. Please don't do it. If you're listening in the car, my hands are up in prayer. Please don't do it. Okay. Last one, explosive power. This combines power and speed to improve your power output. This is mostly the type of training you'll see with athletes, sports teams, things like that. It's it improves their ability to perform explosive movements in their sport. So think jumping, running, they push side to side, things like that. So they have to be a lot more explosive with their movements than we do in our everyday life. So muscular hypertrophy, muscular endurance, circuit training, maximum muscular strength, and explosive power. Those are your five types of strength training. Like I said earlier, most of the general public is going to focus on endurance training, circuit training, and hypertrophy. So the first three that I mentioned are the ones that you're typically going to see in your public gyms and your private gyms, things like that. Explosive power, if you know anyone that trains athletes, that's what you're typically going to see. So my youth athletes, high school athletes, that's what we typically train and do, is explosive power. Yeah, if you're not an experienced athlete, if you're not being coached or guided by someone, maximum muscular strength and explosive power, I would say be really careful. You know, you're your own person. You can do what you want, but just be mindful. There are risks involved with those, okay? So if you need help, I'm here. I generally do a mix of most of them, depending on what my client needs. The exception to that is the maximum strength training. I don't normally train clients that are looking for that. And that's just, I haven't really had the experience, the opportunity, but I probably haven't had the opportunity because I don't put it out there that I can do that. I don't prefer it. So I guess I just don't. But it's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. Just not my cup of tea. So depending on what type of training you choose, you guys, there's various types of tools you can use. There's body weight, free weights, resistance bands, those loop bands, those cloth glute bands that we see on Amazon. So with body weight, you're using your body weight and the force of gravity to create that resistance in your movements. So you can squat, you can push up, pull up, planks, lunges, things like that that are non-equipment based, sit-ups, right? You're using your body weight to tire yourself out, essentially. The second one are the free weights. We all know what free weights are. If you don't, you'll know when I tell you. Dumbbells, kettlebells, right? The all the scattered equipment you usually see all over the floor. So basically anything that's not attached to a machine or cardio equipment. Those are all free weights. Kettlebells, barbells, med balls, then things like that. Those are going to be your free weights. So if you don't have stuff like that in your own home, you're going to find it in a gym, right? Or if you have stuff at home that you can use, that's going to be beneficial for you. And if you don't have any of that, body weight is going to work just as fine. And then resistance bands and loop bands, those are great for beginners. Those are great for anyone who may be fearful of weights or anything like that, or has any previous injuries that they're just afraid of re-aggravating. So bands are super easy and super beneficial when it comes to exercises like that. And they're sometimes made of cloth. Most are made of rubber, and they just basically provide resistance when stretched. There's mini bands, there's power bands, and then there's tube bands. So the mini bands are the ones you'll go like around your ankles, around the wrists and things like that. Power bands are the longer ones that you can use for like overhead movement, stretching the shoulders. And then the tube bands are the ones we are most familiar with. Those have the handles on them, and you can use them for like curls, overhead presses, flies, things like that. Those are the ones that most people will probably have in their home gym. And then we also have our weight machines, which you're going to see in your gym. Some of them have stacks of weights. Some of them are air compression based, which I kind of like those. Those are a lot of fun. But that's what they use to provide resistance. Like I said, you're going to see those mostly in a commercial gym, and a lot of physical therapy and rehabilitation facilities as well. And then the last one you can use is suspension equipment. Most people know it as TRX. That's the brand. So they're actually just called suspension trainers. They're straps that can be anchored up to, you can set up an anchor in your garage, like or your wall or something, or they even have a setup to do it on the door, and you can clip it on there. And that basically uses body weight and gravity to perform the movement. So it's a really great option for, again, for those who are a little bit afraid of free weights and just kind of want to get into movements. And they're also portable, so you can travel with the straps a lot easier than you can travel with free weights. So that's also a really good option for anyone who has a travel-based job or just happens to travel a lot. Suspension trainer and bands are great for working out on the go. But whatever type of training you decide on, the ultimate goal is basically to put your muscles under tension to allow what's called a neuromuscular adaptation. That is what creates the changes in our muscle tissue. It stimulates muscle growth, stimulates protein synthesis, which is what builds muscle. And with consistency and repetition, your muscles will become stronger. Yes, they can become bigger, but that also has a lot to do with the type of training and your diet. So don't be afraid of strength training, because you're not just going to become bigger and muscly. You're just going to become stronger, which is what we really all need, is strength. Okay? Okay. If you guys say okay after I do, thanks. I know I say it a lot. I'm working on it, I promise. Okay? all right. So now that we know the types of strength training, we know how to do some strength training. Let's go over why we should do some strength training. There's a lot of benefits backed by science. There are actually 13 here. Yeah, 13, guys. There's 13. If you can't find one reason out of these 13 to do some sort of resistance training or body weight or strength training, like, come on, man. We gotta really rethink what we're prioritizing here. But the first one, like we just said, it makes you stronger. All right. Strength training helps make your muscles and your bones stronger. So as you get older, it's going to help keep your bones stronger and your structure strong. It basically just allows you to perform daily tasks much easier. All right. Carrying groceries, for example, is just walking, is a farmer's carry holding weights by your side and just walking. So you're holding weight, right? Like I have a rule. I don't care how many groceries I have in the car. All of them are coming in on one trip. I'm not going back. Or, you know, if you have kids and you're not strong enough to bend down and play with them or run around with them a little bit, or, you know, if you have older kids and they like to kind of roughhouse a little bit, it's a lot harder to do certain things because you're not your former strength. And if you're an athlete out there, it's going to help improve your performance that are going to require speed, power, and strength. So if you're looking to get faster, if you're looking to jump higher, if you're just looking to perform better in your sport, start strength training. And if you're a young athlete, youth athlete, and junior high, start with body weight. Move into weights, right? And then move into the tougher stuff. But please ask for help. Second thing, you're going to burn calories more efficiently. So if you're looking to burn fat and burn calories, get off the treadmill, please. Don't go on there for 30, 45 minutes and just steady state cardio. It's not going to do anything for you. It'll do something for the first 10, 15 minutes. And after that, you're just wasting your time. Sorry to tell you. If you like the treadmill and you're doing it for fun and your mental health, great, keep doing it. But if you're doing it to lose weight, you're doing it wrong. All right. The way to burn calories more efficiently is by strength training. Body weight training. Okay, so remember, when I say strength training here, we're not just talking weights. Body weight, resistance, bands, suspension, whatever. Any of those forms of strength training. It's going to help boost your metabolism in two ways. First, you're building muscle, which increases your metabolic rate, your metabolism. And your muscles at that point are more metabolically efficient than fat, which are going to allow you to burn more calories at rest. So when your muscles have been put through a strength training session, regimen, whatever you want to call it, your muscles are going to require more energy than your fat will when it's resting. So in order for your muscles to repair themselves, they're going to burn calories, which is energy being used. Fat doesn't require as much energy because it just burns off, right? So the more we strength train, the more energy we need to repair ourselves on the back end. So it's a whole loop. It's like a circle, right? It just goes back and forth, but it all connects, and there's so many reasons why it's so important. But the second one, the second way to boost your metabolism is even after you've finished your strength training session, your metabolic rate is increased for up to 72 hours after that. That's 3 days, right? 24, 20. That's 3 days. So let's say you strength train Monday. And Tuesday, you don't do anything. Your metabolic rate is still up. Your metabolism's still high. Cool, you took a rest day. Wednesday, you're still within that 72-hour period. You're probably going to do another strength training session. Man, you just stacked up some calorie burning and high metabolism, right? 72 hours after strength training, you'll still have the effects of strength training. The third one is going to decrease your abdominal fat. If you're familiar with abdominal fat, you know what I'm talking about. And most of us want to get rid of that stubborn belly fat that just won't go away, right? That's fat stored around the abdomen, abdominal fat. It's mainly called visceral fat, and that's associated with an increased risk of chronic diseases, including heart disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, type 2 diabetes, and certain types of cancer. We don't want that, guys. We have so many options to get rid of abdominal fat to prevent all those bad things from happening to us. So let's just start strength training. A couple squats here, some lunges, push-ups, pull-ups, whatever. So keep it simple, right? Don't go crazy right away. Multiple studies have shown the benefits of strength training for reducing abdominal and then total body fat overall. Subcutaneous fat, which is the fat that's like literally right under your, this right here, what women always point to, the little, they shake it. That's sub-Q fat. That'll help with that too. Ladies, please stop doing that. Just please stop. Four, it gives you a leaner toned look. Which, if you shake your arm at me, this is what you're looking for, a leaner toned look. As you build muscle, you burn fat and you appear leaner. So you're building muscle. You're not getting bigger muscles. Your muscles aren't growing. Your body fat is actually reducing. So it's actually just showing your muscles more. Okay. You're not getting big giant muscles just by doing 20 bodyweight squats at home once a week. I promise it won't happen. If it does, come find me. So the reason for that, muscle is more dense than fat, which means it will take up less space on your body pound for pound. So the more muscle strength you have, the less body fat you have, body fat won't be in as many places, and muscle doesn't take up as much space, so you won't look as puffy. There you go. You won't look as poofy. So it may mean that like you lose inches around your waist, or you see changes in your total body composition. Maybe your pants fit better. Maybe someone's telling you, hey, you look like you've lost weight or anything like that. But the number on the scale may not have changed, right? So that doesn't mean that your body composition isn't changing, right? As we said, muscle's more dense than fat. We've heard it for years and years and years. Muscle weighs more than fat. That's what that means. Muscle is more dense than fat. So even though the scale may not change, but your pants are fitting better, you're feeling better, you're sleeping better, you have more energy, things like that, then it's working. So don't pay so much attention to the muscle on the scale, to the number on the scale, and you'll start seeing and feeling better results overall. The fifth one here, you guys, as we get older, we are at more risk of falling. Believe it or not, we fall a lot as we get older. Apparently, we forget how to fall. No, that's not the reason why. The reason is our body just gets weaker as we age, which means our bones and our muscle structure can't support our body as we get older. We get heavier, our body gets weaker. It's a recipe for disaster. There was one review of over 22,000 adults, and over 60% showed a reduction of 34% in falls in those who included. Wow, I read that totally wrong. Let's start over, guys. Whew. There was one review of over 22,000 adults who were over 60 years old, and it showed a reduction of 34% in falls and those who included some sort of strength training regimen or program. So out of 22,000 adults 60 years and up, 34% of them were able to reduce their risk of falling just by adding strength training. That's pretty cool. So if we start now, if you're not 60, if you're under 60, if you start now, you're setting yourself up for not falling. And of course, it wasn't just strength training for them. Balance and stability exercises were included, because you lose your balance and stability even more as you get older. So that's included as well. But strength training is the main form of exercise. And there's also other forms of strength training that they do, the 60 and older crew, because the traditional weight training and running and things like that aren't really something that is, we'll say, easy for them, right? So they don't do those. They do Tai Chi. They use the resistance bands, maybe some yoga, Pilates, simple body weight exercises that'll help them stay mobile, stay flexible, and stay active. Along with decreasing your risk of falls, you also lower your risk of injury overall. Strength training is going to help improve the strength of your range of motion and the mobility of your muscles, ligaments, and tendons. So think your shoulders, your wrists, your knees, your ankles. Those are the areas that need that range of motion and mobility, and also need the muscles, ligaments, and tendons around it to be strong. So when we have strength around it, the likelihood of getting hurt is much less, right? If we have strong thighs and hamstrings and calf and shin, then our knee is much better protected. If I have a strong chest, shoulders, back, and arm muscles, then my shoulder is much better protected, right? These strength training exercises, what they basically do is they just reinforce the strength around those major joints. We don't like hurt knees, which is the most common We don't like hurt shoulders, also most common injury, but hips and ankles also provide additional protection. So we need to protect our joints as much as possible. And then it can also help correct any muscular imbalances. So if you have imbalances, injuries are bound to happen as well. So if we strength train, our body is smart enough to balance itself out when it has to, and we have to give it the opportunity to do so. And it's not just about strengthening, right? The muscles around the joints, right? It's also the muscles in your core, your trunk. You know, from your hips to your ribs, it's not a lot of bone. It's just your core muscles. So we need to have those strong as well. Having a stronger core is going to help take the load off your lower back during lifting. Hamstrings, glutes, right? Strengthening those is going to reduce the load on your lower back. So it's going to reduce any back injury. So add strength training if you don't, and keep at it if you already are. There was a review of over 7,500 athletes, and it found that strength training reduced the risk of injury by 33%. So there's a lot of times I've told clients when we're in the gym that a lot of the work that we do in there isn't just to be stronger. It's also injury prevention. So get in the gym, get outside, get like in the area right here and just start squatting, start push-upping, start pull-upping. I don't even, that's past tense. There's no past tense, but whatever. You guys know what I mean. All right, there's a few more here, you guys, because I know you guys probably got to go. No, you don't. You just pause it. 7, improve heart health and manage your blood sugar levels. We've all heard of our blood sugar levels being extremely elevated in this day and age. A lot of it has to do with our diets, but if we haven't been able to change our diets, or for some reason it's more difficult to change diets because of whatever reason, studies have shown that regular strength training exercise can decrease blood pressure, lower your total and LDL, which is your bad cholesterol. So lowers total cholesterol overall, while also improving your blood circulation by strengthening your heart and blood vessels. So your heart and blood vessels are also muscles, right? They're not your trigger. You can't do bicep curls for your heart, right? You can't do blood vessel planks or anything like that, but they are muscles, so they do require some sort of contraction and, oh my god, can't think of the word right now, but y'all know what I mean. I'm drawing a blank. I'll think of it later. But you know, it's got to contract and expand so that it pushes blood through your body. So if you strength train, you're going to help maintain that. You're also going to help maintain a healthy body weight, which is going to help manage your blood sugar levels. All right, so it's all a cascading effect of what strength training can do for you. We all know that high sugar levels are a major risk for type 2 diabetes, for heart disease, things like that. And if you strength train now, you're going to start to see changes in your body. You're going to lower your risk of developing diabetes. If you're predisposed to it, you're going to lower your risk of being predisposed to it. You're going to shut those genes off because you're not feeding it the data it needs to give you diabetes. All right. So, and if you already suffer from the condition, then it's going to just improve your condition. So no harm, no foul. Okay. Ooh, there's a lot. See, there's more on diabetes. Skeletal muscle helps increase insulin sensitivity. So the more you increase your muscle integrity, the more sensitive your body's going to be to insulin. So you're going to have better response when it comes to sugar levels. It's going to help reduce those sugar levels by removing the glucose from the blood and then sending it to the muscle cells, because the muscles need glucose for energy and for growth. So the greater the muscle mass, the greater the blood sugar management. Okay? You don't know too many bodybuilders that have diabetes. Actually, that's not entirely true. I was just listening to something a little while ago. A lot of bodybuilders take insulin shots for certain things because of their diets and everything. But that's a whole different conversation. And those are anomalies, because those guys are crazy with their diets. So let's not even go there. But anyways, sorry. Itch. Number 8, you guys, it's going to promote greater flexibility and mobility. So the stronger you are, the more mobile you are. The stronger you are, the more flexible you are, and vice versa. More often than not, yoga and Pilates people are stronger than most people who lift weights. Crazy, right? But there's a phrase called strength through length, and the longer your muscles can extend to a point where they're still functional and still being able to carry a load, the stronger they are, right? So when you see people in those yoga positions or those Pilates positions where they're holding their body in these elongated stretch positions for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, maybe even a minute sometimes, they're actually building strength. It's time under tension. So strength through length, and the longer you're in that position, the stronger your muscles are going to be in those areas. And it's actually going to make you more flexible as well, because the longer your muscles can stretch, the longer you can move, right? The better you can move, the easier it'll be to put your socks on. I know if you struggle out there putting your socks on, you gotta like lift your foot up all. I know, it's okay. Don't worry. I've been there. Don't be there no more. Strength training increases your joint range of motion, your ROM, which allows for greater mobility and flexibility. So those with weaker muscles actually tend to have lower range of motion and flexibility. If you don't strength train very often, or if you've never really exercised or done any sort of physical activity, then you probably have been in a situation where they've said, you know, bend down and touch your toes and you can't. It's weird, right? But the more you stretch, the more you strength train, the longer your muscle tissue is, the more flexible you're going to be. Okay. And then make sure that when you're doing these exercises, you're using full range of motion through the exercise to maximize the benefits of the full movement. So if we're going to squat, don't do a half squat, because when you do a squat later, you're going to half squat, and that's how far you can stretch, because that's how you've trained your muscles to function. Four more here, guys. Number 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's actually 5. I can't count. Well, 9 to 13, whatever. Anyways, boost your self-esteem. Strength training is going to add a major boost to your self-confidence. I've had several of my clients tell me that they've improved in their self-esteem. They feel better about themselves. They're more comfortable going out and talking to people. They're doing better at work as far as being more productive or feeling more confident in sales. I actually had one client that I can totally notice his attitude towards, you know, himself and how he carries himself now has changed so much. And it's just such a great testament to how much strength training does that, because it changes your body composition. You feel stronger, you feel better. You know, you're able to overcome the challenge of, I'm tired today, but I got to go work out. And once you get past those days of you know, those tough days, you get more confident. You know, it encourages you to work towards bigger, higher, stronger goals. And you learn to appreciate what you're able to achieve and what you're capable of overcoming. So if you feel low, if you feel like, you know, if you feel low self-worth, if you feel worthless, start a little strength training regimen. Start to feel strong in your own body again, and the brain will follow. Your heart will follow. All right, promise. It's also going to increase your self-efficacy, which is your belief that you're able to succeed. Right? If I tell you to do 20 squats and you're sitting there the whole time as you're doing them, I can't do this. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do this. And I say 20, you're like, oh, I can do this. Yes, you can. There was a review of seven different reviews. It was a review of seven different studies in a youth group, ages 10 to 16, and they observed a significant association between strength training and high self-esteem, physical strength, and physical self-worth. If you grew up playing sports, you know that is 100,000,000% accurate. Most of the kids that I played sports with were very confident. I didn't really meet a lot of shy teammates, And if I did, it was overcome very quickly. But there's definitely a different level of confidence and self-esteem in athletes at that age than non-athletes. So I highly recommend activity and exercise for anyone 10 years and up. Okay. You're also going to improve your bone strength. So as we're getting older, our bones get weaker. But if you're still a younger person, like I just mentioned, that 10 to 15 year range, start training now because it's going to help your bone development. Contrary to popular belief, it's not going to stunt your growth. Okay. Weight bearing exercises put temporary stress on your bones, and those send signals to your bone building cells to rebuild bones stronger, reducing your risk of osteoporosis, fractures, and falls. Okay. But don't worry, it's never too late. So if you haven't started yet, start now, because why not? You really have nothing to lose by starting a strength training program. It's also going to boost your mood, you guys. If you have bad days, or if you feel like you're just not going to make it through these days, consistent resistance training can boost your mood and improve your mental health. There are multiple studies, and they've shown that strength training may reduce anxiety and boost mood. I always say that it's the most underrated form of therapy. Of course, there are other necessities when it comes to therapy, but this is one way to relieve tension, relieve anxiety, relieve depression, boost confidence, right? Boost your mood, boost your self-worth. All those go hand in hand. So if you can't afford a therapist, you can afford going outside and taking a walk, or, you know, doing a round of squats and push-ups and pull-ups and things like that. It's super simple. Exercise promotes the release of mood boosting endorphins, which are going to play a vital role in just having an overall positive mood and overall better well-being. You're also going to improve your brain health. Your brain health. I should probably improve my brain health. I do exercise, okay? Strength training may result in better brain health and protection against age-related cognitive decline. We want to think about Alzheimer's and dementia when we talk about cognitive decline. So obviously it's not saying that it's going to prevent these things, but it will result in better protection against it, right? So if we can build our defenses up against something, why not? Multiple studies in older adults have shown significant improvements in cognitive function, which is their processing speed, memory, executive function, motor skills, things like that, and those who participated in strength training. So a little bit here and there is going to help improve the memory, help improve the functions that go on in your brain. And that has a lot to do with the neuroprotective effects that strength training has. Improve blood flow, reduce inflammation, increase expression of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is linked to memory and learning. Man, I said it without stumbling. I thought I was going to stumble when I said it, when I wrote that down. I was like, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Did it again. But that's what's linked to memory and learning. So as you strength train, your brain starts to release that neurotrophic factor to help build those, what do they call them? The lines, synapses, to help lay the lines of memory and learning. So why isn't everyone strength training? Anyways, last one here. You guys are going to promote a better quality of life. I fully agree with this one, especially. I agree with all of them, but this one especially. Just increasing your quality of life. I've trained people over 60. I've trained people over 70. And I can tell you for a fact that they're much happier people. And have a better outlook on life and better moods than people I've run into that don't exercise. And believe me, I've run into those people. I have people in my family that, you know, are older, much older, that don't really exercise, but their quality of life is just poor, right? So if you start now, if you start building a better quality of life now, you'll thank yourself. You'll thank yourself now, not even later, but you'll thank yourself later also. I wrote this? Let's read this, because you guys need to know this. Numerous studies have linked strength training to increased health-related quality of life. Whew. So one review, including adults 50 years and up, showed a significant correlation between resistance training and better mental health, physical functioning, pain management, general health, and vitality. Who doesn't want that at that age, right? Like pain management, you can move a lot better. You're not all achy and things like that. And you're not ornery and moody. And it also may improve your quality of life if you suffer from arthritis. Strength training significantly improves scores in pain and physical functioning for those who suffered from arthritis. Whew, that was a lot. Sorry, guys. That was all 13 benefits of strength training backed by science. So we're done with that. Let's go home. Actually, hold on. Not yet. I got one more thing for you. Just simple piece of advice when it comes to strength training. Start at the beginning, go slow, just get really good at your basic movements, squats, lunges, push-ups, good mornings, pull-ups. Do the simple stuff first, do the stuff that you know you can master first, and then move on to the next step, and then move on to the next step, right? We don't go from crawling to running right away, okay? We crawl, we walk, we run, we fly, as MLK said. But yeah, make sure you have proper form and you can complete the exercises before you move on to something. Just because you see something on Instagram and it looks cool doesn't mean you can do it. Doesn't mean you should do it. Please don't just do it because it looks cool. All right. And start with body weight. And then once body weight becomes easy and you're still a little like, I don't know if I want to do weight yet, then start doing single leg exercises, right? So you start doing more lunges, more step ups, more Bulgarians, more single leg RDLs, things like that to challenge your balance and your stability, which is going to add another element of difficulty to each workout. And then rotational movements are always a great option to add. We rotate in life all the time as we walk around. So do movements that are functional in real life, and you'll be much better off. You'll see the results translate much better. So once you've reached that level of comfort, go ahead and start adding an external load, right? So start using free weights, start using resistance bands, or machines if you're more comfortable with that. That's probably a better option as well. And then barbells and plates are going to be best for when you're either with a coach that's helping you set it all up, once you're comfortable enough to do it all by yourself, or if you have a partner that can help you. So you don't hurt yourself, or you guys can both kind of spot each other in those situations. But challenge your muscles with a progressive overload. So start with lower weight, move to higher weight as you go into each set. Don't go crazy with the weight, right? I say add about 5 to 10 pounds each set. Make sure that your sets and your reps are manageable. They have to be difficult but doable. So you should be increasing your weight and your reps and your sets, but don't increase it so much that you can't finish each workout. Okay. That one I said okay because I need you to agree with me. And then lastly, guys, don't overdo it. All right. Don't overdo it and plan your workouts ahead of time. So if you're going to go through a workout and you feel that because you're not sore after your workout, that it wasn't a good workout, that's wrong. Okay. Please don't feel that way. Being sore isn't a marker for a good workout. Being sore is a marker for muscle groups that need a little more use. All right. So if you notice when you do squats for the first time and you haven't done them in a while, you're going to be sore. And then after a few weeks, you're not sore anymore. But then we introduce lunges or something like that. Guess what? You're going to be sore. And then after a few days of that, you're not going to be sore. So it's not a good marker to sit there and be like, I'm not sore. I didn't do a good workout. I got to go harder next time. Don't do that. Okay. So don't overdo it. You shouldn't be in so much pain that you can't do normal life, right? You shouldn't be in that much pain. All right. And gaining that muscle strength or gaining size or anything like that has nothing to do with being sore. It's not going to help. Cause you'll actually typically feel sore for about 36 hours after your workout. So if you're aiming to be extremely sore on Monday and it lasts for 36 hours, by Wednesday, you'll still probably be a little sore and then you're going into another training session. So you don't really want that. Okay. Program your training to be full body workouts. So you get some work from head to toe, You don't want to just do one body group, one body. Yeah. One muscle. You don't want to do just one muscle group. Cause if you go to the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Monday you're supposed to do legs and something came up, you just couldn't make it. Great. Now what? Wednesday you're going to do legs and move your Wednesday workout to Friday. Cool. That's fine. But then now what's going to happen Friday? It's just too confusing. So if you can do a full body Monday, full body Wednesday, full body Friday, and you miss one day, those other 2 days are still going to be full body. Okay. And if you need help with things like that, I have an app with all my workouts on there that you can follow and you won't be so lost. Okay. So if you're nervous about strength training, maybe because you're not sure where or how to start, or you don't want to be made fun of, or you don't want to get hurt, then I hope that this kind of gives you a little bit of a starting point, and makes you feel a little more comfortable starting to strength train, starting to resistance train, body weight train, whatever it is you want to do. The great thing about it is that it's not just lifting weights at the gym, right? So if you want to do yoga, if you want to do Pilates, if you want to go swimming, if you want to go hiking, if you want to go running, those are all resistance-based exercises, workouts, to say the least. I know people don't like hearing workouts, so I'll say exercise. I'm just going to start saying movements because every time I say exercise, people get all nervous. but anyways, anytime you're giving your body an external resistance, walking up a hill, pushing a stroller, so if you have kids, things like that are simple ways to add simple resistance training and the best way to just get started. So don't be shy, right? We all got to start somewhere. Ask for help. We all need help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And don't get hurt out there. All right? So thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode. This was much longer than usual. We're at about 45 minutes now. Probably a little longer, I think. I don't know. Anyways, thanks, you guys. If you had to pause it and come back, I appreciate it. If you didn't finish it, then you're probably not listening to this part of it. But thanks again. So make sure you follow the podcast, subscribe so you get alerts on new episodes. Also go to my YouTube channel at Coach Adamir. The videos are on there as well as Spotify. So, and then follow my page at Coach Adamir. Everything's at Coach Adamir. Keep it simple. And then a new website's coming up pretty soon. It'll have my stuff and then some of Audrey's stuff on there because we're kind of planning on morphing this into one. Good thing is we both have the same initials already, so that helps. But anyways, I'm going to ramble on if I don't stop here because I usually don't write my outro, my bye-bye. I don't write it because it's got to be organic, right? Whew. Anyways, yeah, I'm done. There's no more on here. Finito. So thanks, you guys. Message me if you have any questions. Don't be shy. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here to hide any information or make you feel like you need to ask me a million questions in order to get your answer. So if you need an answer, text me, email me, message me. You'll get the answer you need. Hopefully it's the right one. But all right, guys, I'm going to go now. I'll miss you. All right. Have a good week, you guys. Remember to love yourself and go be the best version of yourself. Bye.